From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, January 26th. Here are today's headlines.
Some retired state employees are pushing back on a plan to switch from their state-run health care to a privately run Medicare Advantage plan. Governor Phil Scott says the change would provide better coverage for about 8,000 retirees and save about $9 million a year. But Steve Howard, head of the Vermont State Employees Association, says Medicare Advantage plans have a poor track record nationally, and they'll fight the proposal.
You could always save money by denying services to elderly Vermonters. That is, in fact, what Medicare Advantage plans do. The question is that consistent with Vermont's value?
At a press conference this week, Scott said his administration needs to do a better job of explaining the change. He said his plan will be customized for Vermont and offer more benefits.
Drivers for Rutland-based Casella Waste Systems will have a chance to opt into a lawsuit against the company. Truck drivers who worked for Casella at any time since August 2018 will be able to join the suit, thanks to an order last week from a federal judge in Burlington. That's the latest development in a case brought in 2021 by three former Casella drivers from Vermont, Maine, and Massachusetts. They allege that the waste company automatically deducted a daily 30-minute meal break from their pay, though they say they routinely worked through that break. Lawyers for Casella have argued that because of an exemption in federal law, many drivers should not be eligible to join the suit. But the judge said that can be determined later in the legal process. For now, drivers will be notified of the lawsuit and then will have 60 days to decide whether to join it. A Casella spokesperson declined to comment, and lawyers for the plaintiffs did not respond. And a disclosure, Casella is an underwriter of Vermont Public.
In other garbage news, a grassroots environmental group out of Newport is appealing the state's decision last month to issue a federal operating permit for Vermont's only open landfill. Volunteer members of DUMP, or Don't Undermine Memphremagog's Purity, say the new wastewater permit for the Coventry landfill threatens water quality. Casella owns the landfill, and the state found PFAS in the juices created by the garbage there. PFAS, as you might have heard, are highly toxic man-made chemicals that never go away. Under the new permit, Casella has to pilot a system to remove PFAS from landfill wastewater before the liquid gets trucked away to Montpelier, where it goes now. But DUMP doesn't want that pilot system to be in Coventry and doesn't want Casella to be in charge of operating it. DUMP is appealing the permit in state environmental court.
2 years ago, a photo of a mitten-clad Bernie Sanders seated with his arms crossed at President Joe Biden's inauguration took the internet by storm. The highly memeable photo went viral, and the mittens, made by a Vermont schoolteacher, became infamous. Now, 1,500 of those mitten memes will be preserved in perpetuity. Vermont Folklife collected images of the bemittened senator, and thanks to a partnership with the Vermont Historical Records Program, the collection is now kept in a digital repository for present and future generations to enjoy.
Coming up, the controversy over a proposed juvenile detention center in Newbury. More after this. In the fall of 2020, the state shut down Woodside, the only juvenile detention center in Vermont. The number of young people held at the aging facility had shrunk, and some of the youth held there accused staffers of using excessive force and unlawful restraints. Without Woodside, young people involved in the criminal justice system have nowhere to go in state, and some who were arrested for violent crimes have ended up in adult prisons.
The state wants to create several smaller facilities to fill the void left by Woodside, including one in Newbury, to help kids address behaviors that can lead to criminal actions. But the proposal has met stiff opposition in the Orange County town, where residents argue they should be able to reject the proposal. Our colleague Liam Elder Connors has more.
The proposed facility could house up to six boys, aged 12 to 17, on the site of an old bed and breakfast. The six-room house sits off a dirt road on about 278 acres of mostly wooded terrain. Many people in Newbury say their town is not the right place for what the state has proposed.
These kids will be disenfranchised. They'll be just stuck up on a hill in this incredibly remote location with no access to their support systems.
That's Newbury resident Joanne O'Mara. She says the town has limited services and no local police department to respond to emergencies or a kid who escapes.
It is not safe. Okay, what if emergency services can't get to them? What happens in that locked facility to the staff? What happens if there's one youth that's just having an acute episode?
Newberry's Development Review Board in November 2021 unanimously denied the application for the facility, which would have 12-foot-high fences, detention-grade doors and windows, and walls made of abuse-resistant materials. Town officials said it would have an adverse effect on the character of Newberry and did not meet the town's definitions of a residential care or group home. Larry Scott chaired the DRB's hearing on the juvenile facility. He says the proposed development would have been in the town's conservation district.
Commercial enterprises are supposed to be located in the hamlets or the village centers. So this facility, being a juvenile detention center, was not an allowable use in that district.
The state disagreed and appealed. An environmental court judge last fall sided with the state and overturned Newberry's decision. In a last-ditch effort, the town and residents opposed to the project have appealed to the Vermont Supreme Court. Tyler Allen is Adolescent Services Director for the Department of Children and Families. He says generally, the state does need a place to provide treatment and education for youth in a secure setting.
And we're envisioning that as hopefully in like a four-month stay through a course of treatment where they would then step into potentially another residential setting that's non-secured or back into a community setting which is secure because they've not only been stabilized, but they've gotten a dose of treatment.
The pushback in Newberry is similar to what happened when state officials were trying to build Woodside four decades ago. At the time, every potential location for the juvenile lockup meant local resistance. Even police didn't want the facility next to the training academy in Pittsfield, according to a 1981 article in the Burlington Free Press. When lawmakers settled on Essex Junction, residents weren't happy. Here's State Representative Althea Kroger in 1983.
Essex citizens did feel abused, not only the selectmen, but the majority of people. We didn't have an opportunity, didn't have enough time to express our concern. As you remember, the decision on siting was made very, very late in the session, and that was unfortunate because we believe that it wasn't an appropriate site and continue to believe that.
Woodside opened in 1986 in Essex Junction on a plot of land near the Winooski River around a natural area with walking trails. The 30-bed facility's purpose was to hold youth who committed crimes, and early on, it was often at capacity. But over the years, approaches to juvenile justice have shifted away from incarceration and towards rehabilitation. Allen with DCF says the goal is to have kids in the least restrictive environment.
The whole approach we're trying to take is to most quickly move somebody to the lowest levels of care that are required to meet their treatment needs in any given moment.
Woodside, as the state's most restrictive facility, saw its population dwindle. Chief Juvenile Defender Marshall Paul says during its final months, Woodside's population hovered between 0 and 5 kids. Paul, whose office represents youth accused of crimes, says the size and scope of the proposed Newberry facility makes sense.
Newberry is proposed to fill a very specific sort of niche role. So it would be a really small program that would provide intensive therapeutic services in a secure setting. And that's an important and, you know, a small but very important part of that continuum of care.
Some residents in Newberry have raised concerns about how the state would run the facility. DCF would lease the Newberry property from its owners, the Vermont Permanency Initiative, a nonprofit that runs other therapeutic programs. And then the state would contract with VPI to run the facility. Paul says his office, which sued Woodside for allegedly mistreating youth, will keep an eye on their clients.
We would absolutely be in there regularly and all the time, monitoring it, interviewing our clients, finding out what's going on, just like we were at Woodside.
Bennington County Senator Dick Sears is chair of the Judiciary Committee and co-founder of a residential program for troubled youth. He says opposition in Newberry is leaving a hole in the state's treatment options.
You know, nobody wants these programs, and by and large, and yet they're needed in the state. And to be able to zone them out or not allow them. I mean, the decision on Newberry was an administrative decision, and it's unfortunate it's taken as long as it has. It's had very severe repercussions in the juvenile justice system.
Folks there say it's like not the right location.
Well, you know, what is the right location? I've got several in my backyard, literally, and I've had no problem with them.
Walter Cottrell and other Newberry residents opposed to the project say the state needs a secure facility for youth. But Cottrell says Newberry isn't the right place, and if they lose their Supreme Court appeal, that could be a disaster for local control across the state.
The will of the people who live in the municipality will be lost. every place that there are select boards, every place where there's some sort of local government, it's all going to be in jeopardy.
Both sides still need to file briefs in the Supreme Court appeal, which means that the hearing and the ultimate decision are still months away. For Vermont Public, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Nina Keck and Abigail Giles.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.